This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family matters.
Welcome to Joy 94.9. This is Family Matters. Big thank you to Stand Up Straight on tonight's show. You've got Mama Mish, Papa Me, Papa Adrian, and our little son. No, our young child.
I was going to help you out there, Adrian.
I thought you were going to give me crap about my height.
Auntie Gina.
Auntie Gina.
Hello, children. Welcome to the show. We have a great one today. We will be talking to a known sperm donor.
Well known.
Daniel. We're allowed to say Daniel's surname. I'm always, you know, aware of legal issues.
Well, we had the lawyers last week to deal with
it. Right. I'm not sure I can pronounce his surname, so I'm just going to go with Daniel and let's get that clarified.
Everyone
right
knows
after
Daniel the... anyway.
Just Nags. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. Daniel Nags. So if you're interested in being a donor, you know, wondering about how it's always worked, send us an SMS. What's the number?
0427JOY949 or 0427569949.
Or you can
email us on air, joy.org.au.
We'll be right back after this. You're on Joy. Are we going to a song? It says here, song on my run sheet.
what about social media?
Oh,
go, yeah. Run with it, Michelle.
Yeah, we like our social media.
Yeah, look, today you can actually get us on familymatters@joy.org.au. Twitter is familymatters94. And giving my shittiest Aussie accent here, it's on Facebook is Family Matters on Joy.
Michelle, you're American. Does your leader, Donald, approve of your Aussie accent?
I'm not going to talk about that. At the same time, I've got, you know, bronchitis, so...
Is that for screaming at the TV last night? Come on, Hillary!
It was a bit like that, actually.
It's all right. We've got your Australian citizenship paperwork here.
Oh, good.
And we'll go through that.
Okay. I appreciate that. So. Yes.
Just a few questions on here.
Are we going to make Michelle an Aussie citizen tonight?
Yeah, I reckon we could do it.
If
she passes
legal.
The questions on this test, I mean, I don't know the answers to half of it, so I don't know how Mish is going to...
Yeah, no, I'm propped up here with my green tea and yeah.
It's all good.
It's hard when you're a trans woman, you sound like Tone Loke on the radio. So, all right, so, okay, you ready? We can go to song now.
Adrian,
I'm so sorry.
You ready?
I prematurely...
tonight, that's not the leading joke.
No, I was a bit early in my...
arrival?
Yeah.
Well, we should ask the known donor about that later on, maybe.
We should.
Leading into a song. Is now the time for the song?
Yeah, go, Adrian.
You're on Joy 94.9. It's a wonderful world.
Family Matters at Joy. Your voice, your radio.
Trump might be leader, but it's still a wonderful world. Stay resilient.
Stay
resilient. You are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. Now, remember, if you want to join the conversation, you can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. Michelle, you're our resident American correspondent on the ground.
Yeah.
What the hell's happened?
I have no idea. Everyone was like, is this a dream? Is this a joke? Are we being punked by Ashton Kutcher here?
Including the Republicans, right?
Yeah.
Right.
We've been trumped.
Yeah, we've been trumped. And the thing is over there is people don't actually really get the... I understand he's really big on jobs and there's the employment and bringing work back to the U.S. But the hard part is there's too many Republicans who, especially his VP, who are very anti-LGBT. Again, pardon my voice. I've got a bad cold. So he, you know, things like what happened in Indiana where there's the discrimination laws where we can go in to a pub as LGBT people and be turned away.
Can I ask a question? Do we think that, with the strong conservative that Pence is and with the kind of support base that Trump's got, you know, Trump's much more of a kind of conservative along these lines. Do you think there might be a rollback of some of the progressive laws that were passed in America?
Well, they're talking about actually.
I don't actually know. Is that they control all levels of the government. It's like so, they could pass it through, right?
So let's take it back to Obama. Obama's a Democratic president. Democratic president. And you had a Republican House and a Republican Senate.
Yep.
So nothing can go through. It's basically a stalemate. No, whatever tries pushing through, they're going to stop each other and no change is going to be made. So with this particular change, you've got a complete Republican House, Republican Senate, Republican president. So if they all put things through, they're pretty much going to push it through.
But in Congress, is it common that the Republicans and Democrats sometimes vote together on things?
Sometimes.
So yeah, I think it's a bit different.
It's a bit different to what it is in Australia. So
yeah.
Is it now up to should there be a pack of Republicans that might be able to save the rest of the world?
They might be able to, but the thing is the Republicans need to actually put. The Republicans actually are afraid of Trump. They actually don't even back him.
Yeah, of course.
But all of a sudden they're like, holy sh! What happened? You know, like how did this even happen? They're even gobsmacked how it happened.
Now, I don't understand. They kept saying college electorate. And I thought a bunch of frat kids were just going to vote
with their beer
Hillary
pumps.
In. Yeah, I just thought, you know, Koga kind of parties.
Well, if you look at
parties,
the stats.
Is that what a college electorate is?
No.
It's clearly not.
No.
I got it wrong.
You know, the thing is it's still hard. No. Most people hardly even understand it. So there's these the sort of elected people that based on the votes that go in, they're the ones that actually are chosen to put in the vote for the so a lot of times what happens is if the vote comes through and it's for say Hillary, they can still vote Clinton or vote Trump.
But I don't think that usually happens, right? I think usually it's kind of not the way they
the Electoral College actually swung more towards Trump is if you look at the actual popular vote, it was actually for Hillary.
Yeah, so the majority of the people
One Hillary. The Electoral College.
And believe in climate change and believe in equality.
Michelle, what do you think this means for, I was going to say same-sex families, but probably
you just hit the nail on the head
because LGBTI in general, but in particular families. You know, what is it actually going to mean? What are you seeing even with people you're talking to?
They vowed, and this is the thing, there was actually some correspondent folks that were on the, the news and the shows that were going through it. And they were actually saying, you know, there was this one guy, he said, you know, he was a gay dad and he had his husband and whatever. And they said, look, you know, now we're worried because they're talking about reversing same-sex marriage in America now because the Republicans are in and they're vowing to reverse it.
I would not return my Vera Wang dinner set if I got married. Okay? Yeah, that would be. It's hard enough to get here.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Donald Trump now, there's a one vacancy on the Supreme Court, the judging panel, which Obama recommended somebody.
It's not Australian Idol. It's not X Factor.
Marsha Hines. Yeah, Simon Cowell.
Exactly.
Now,
going to Sydney.
Now Trump's going to appoint that judge now, which means we're going to have a very conservative.
But that's okay. It was conservative previously when the old guy, Scully, whatever, died. He was quite conservative anyway.
Yes, but Obama was going to put somebody progressive in that spot.
So, you know, we're not taking a lean to the left. We're going to, you know, keep just as right as it always was.
But the problem is you're looking like everything going back to the 1950s. And so things like in North Carolina with the HB2 laws, with being trans, being using toilets and being whatever in public, being turned away, being LGBT. I know my old voice has popped out. And so
old grandpa voice.
What's your old voice?
Old voice.
What's your old voice?
This is my old voice.
No.
Yeah. No, hold on.
You don't sound old.
No.
Oh,
my old voice. You get me? All right.
I thought you sounded like an old person.
No,
like,
no, that's
you
right.
Sound like an old person.
That's it.
Let me explain something.
Yes. That's the old voice.
So in Indiana, right? So what we do is if I went there and get myself a cake and a coffee,
very impressive.
I'd actually get turned away. And because I'm a fruit basket, that's pretty much why.
And there you go. That was a Trump supporter there live from America.
But the thing is, you'd see these videos from the rallies and they're yelling, you know, kill the ins and kill the all the net derogatory words. And so it's not so much him, but what he's created. There's been what's called a white lash. From middle America, and the majority of voters that came out in this were white, middle-aged, middle class, uneducated men, and they basically in a lot of ways took back the country the way they wanted.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, part of that's not a problem, right? As in, the part that's not the problem to me is, well, a democracy works and
the difference between you and I, though, Adrian, is you could walk around the street and no one would know you're gay.
The point I'm making, is that the fact that they're just uneducated and white and men and live in rural areas is not, we don't hold that against them.
But you're talking a Bible Belt America and the values of that area, it's, you know, very anti. If it's not white, it's not right. If it's Muslim, all those things. If it's gay or anything, it's bad.
Yeah. So the difference now is that those people now have a leader who endorses that behavior.
And so basically,
they feel emboldened. Justified.
And so they feel justified. So now, like just the other day, there was actually a pickup truck that was owned by a trans veteran, and her son, I think, was like 3 years old. They came out, and this Trump supporter went to their car and lit it on fire and spray painted Trump on the tailgate.
So now, Jenny, you mentioned it before the show as well. It's now time for the community to stay resilient. It might bring out some positives, as in,
look, I'm hoping this just brings on a wave of more activists and just invokes people to get active and be seen and be counted
and be supported.
Look, for me, that is the hope, that a lot of people kind of sit back and go, oh, like, we all were really shocked and surprised that that was the outcome, and a lot of people are really passive to this sort of stuff. Yeah. So I hope people use that rage and use that shock and actually get active and get active local. Like, we can be upset about what's happening there, but there's stuff that's happening here. You know, our system isn't perfect, but we need to get like,
let me tell you, back in my day, if I had an idiot like that, I'd beat him with my cane and I'd remind him who his elder was. You get me?
That is scarily very impressive. Mama Mish. Anyway, you're on Family Matters on Joy 94.9. We'll be coming back right after this and talking to a known sperm donor, Daniel Nags, right here in studio. Would love to know if you've got any questions. 0427 JOY 949.
Connecting, representing, celebrating. Joy 94.9.
Family Matters on Joy 94.9. Thank you, Beck, for the live read there. Now it's that time of the show where we groove into the interview.
Do we just? I'm looking forward to that. If you are a lesbian couple.
Oh, you said the word.
I know, but notice I hesitated. No, if you're a lesbian couple.
He's got his arms crossed. No, he's what very, are they? You know, held up tight there. I'm nervous.
You're a couple of lesbians and you are looking to start a family. There's a little ingredient that you need in order to make your cake and put it in the oven. And it's not the eggs. The eggs in the cake are sorted, but
this is a good intro.
Is this how you can explain the facts of life to your children?
Yeah, I'm like, when you make a cake, you need milk and you need eggs. And you need a bit of flour. I'm not sure what the flour bit is, but they understand.
So our guest here is a bottle of milk.
Daniel Nags. You are more than that. You are a person, but to be honest.
Daniel the Milk Nags.
He's the milkman.
I've been called worse.
Yeah.
And for a minute there, I actually was scared that you're going to give him my phone number.
1-800-MILK.
Daniel is a known sperm donor, and Daniel, you have donated how many times?
Just the once.
Just the once?
Yeah, just the once.
He's not a factory. They don't plug him in like a cow at the farm, okay?
I understand that you can be. If you want to donate more than once, you can.
But not being plugged in.
Nope.
Right, because like I was wondering suddenly if there was some new kind of
I'm picturing like a fleshlight now for some reason. I don't know why.
Yes, you can. You can donate multiple times. I think the total that you can is 10.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wow.
There is a limit on it just to stop people from, being taking advantage.
I mean, 10 sounds like more than enough. But 10 families, right? So three kids in a family, that's 30 times.
I'm not 100% sure, but from the actual form, I mean, there was a limit to the number. And I think that was because, like, I guess the more that you donate, like in the States, there's more likely to be legal ramifications or possible risks, from my understanding.
So how were you approached with your case?
The story starts... far, far back, so I'll just really condense it to really quickly. I used to make YouTube videos on when I lived in Canada.
And how to milk a cow?
Exactly. Mm. No, that's different type too. Of...
I'm going to stop it.
Different type
no,
of
no,
video.
No. So a long time ago in a land far, far away.
I was making videos on YouTube. No, I was making videos on YouTube and I started a friendship with someone who was in Melbourne, who was transitioning at the time. And through the 5 years, I mean, we had met when I came back from my sister's wedding and we formed a friendship. And when I actually moved back here, she approached me on Facebook one night and we were both making YouTube videos and kind of she put this up for me. She's like, I got a serious question to ask you. And we did it via text, which made it a little less complex.
Had you met each other in person?
Yeah. We used to a couple of times at the art gallery. And
wow.
Yeah, for coffee and...
So would you say that you were kind of close or not really close?
Oh, we knew each other and we appreciated each other's intellect and creativity.
Mm.
And so she's very artistic and very smart. So
how many years back are we going here? For?
So when I started donating, what happened was we agreed to meet up at one of the dumpling houses with her partner. It...
Did she come with a sterilized Vegemite jar or anything? Or?
Yeah, no, you know the Kewpie mayonnaise?
Yeah. Okay, cool.
No. we were eating dumplings for a very long time and then talking about everything but. And so I looked at them and I was like, so you want my sperm?
Ah.
Let's talk about it. Let's put it out there. And so we decided to do it. And the process means that after a long time, you actually have to start meeting with a counselor.
Mm.
You have to go three times to understand the whole process, to understand that it won't impact your current lifestyle. I had a boyfriend at the time and had to come out to him as what I was intending to doing after around about 3 months of dating to make sure that he was okay with it. And then he had to come along to our...
Oh, really?
As soon as she knew. And I was like, we've only been dating a couple of months. And she's like, no, you need to. And I was like... So wow, I'm doing this, and if you want to keep dating me, I need you to come along to counseling.
Cool. Yeah. What was his response? Was it?
He was like, yeah, cool, as long as I can steal the child once it's born.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Do we have a dump button? As in, we'll have to take that out of the podcast. No. What is your... Do you have any advice for anyone listening who might be thinking about asking... you know, another guy to be a sperm donor. Does that make sense? So if someone's listening thinking, oh God, I'd love to ask blah, blah, blah. You know, do you just do it? What's the good way to do it? How do you do it?
Go to the dumpling house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, find your favorite YouTube star and ask them.
Yeah, well, maybe. That might work. You never know. I would probably encourage someone to think it through and as to have a clear idea as to why you'd want that person to be possibly tied to a part of your life forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be, look, maybe assess whether or not that person is too close or too far away.
Did you have any hesitations on this?
This was the second time that I've been asked.
And the first time you said no.
First time I said, yeah, sure. And then they broke up. But they asked me at a... There's actually like a running at a sake bar.
They asked you at a bar?
At a sake bar,
Oh, my God.
There is a running thing.
Clearly, your milkshake brings all the girls to the yard.
It really does.
Oh, I wish I had some.
Yeah.
Chinatown.
Chinatown. It's all happening in Chinatown. But look, I think weigh up the pros and cons. And I mean, the other thing is one of my exes, his boyfriend... donated sperm to his sister's girlfriend and they are co-parenting. They're raising it as a family of four.
And how did that and how's that gone?
That's gone really well. I caught up with them at the Tori Amos concert in Sydney and just got the ins and outs because we were going through it at the same time.
Yes.
Ins and outs without the ins and outs.
Yeah, yeah. Without the ins and outs. Yeah.
And so how did you take the offer? As in, for you, was it what goes through your head when you contemplate weigh it up?
I think at that time, I mean, I was very, it was the right combination for me. They were very smart people, very talented, and I had a lot of respect for them. And I was like, you know what? I think that these people deserve to be parents. And I kind of made my decision based on that.
Was there any, did you have to make any Did you have to, like, lay down some conditions? Does that make sense? Like, did you want it? Were you worried about, oh, God, I'm worried about, you know, having the child and having to raise it myself? Or I'm worried about them, you know, did you
schooling,
have to
schooling, yeah.
Yeah, so there is...
Paying whatever it's called, alimony, I don't know.
Alimony, yeah, that's one thing that I did ask. And I was like, okay, well, how are you looking at doing this? And will I be any have any financial commitment?
Yeah.
Or will there be any parenting responsibilities? And they said, no, we want you as a known donor, but not as a co-parent.
But you can say that, but what do you write anything down?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is to kind of protect the parents and also myself. There are legal documents that you need to sign, and they're very clear and they're pretty set out depending on the type of arrangement that you have.
Mm. Well, I tell you what, nothing gets me more excited about legal documents. So can we talk more about that right after this song where we're talking to known sperm donor Daniel Nags on Joy 94.9 Family Matters.
The kids are all right. As for our presenters, Family Matters, Joy 94.9.
I was just getting into the groove.
I'm just trying to take on my president here. You know, you're fired.
Oh, Trump.
Trump. Yeah. So anyway, you are listening to Family Matters. Hello, room. You know, we're actually all in the room together.
Mm-hmm. We're all here.
With our special
even Daniel, the milk and eggs.
The milkman
eggs. What's that?
The rising agent.
The rising agent. Anyway, so what is the full process of donating, Daniel?
Well, it's hard.
Is it hard? Well, it has to be. I mean,
like, to be honest, so the full process, so you mean the clinical process or the, like...
What's a bit of both? Give me, what's both. The... Yeah.
Like, do you have trial sessions first or...
I had a lot of practice, yeah.
Yep, yep. Do you have to take those practice sessions in there or...
No, it's just at home.
So just at home, so you have your own good selection of gay porn then at home? And...
Yeah, but unfortunately at the actual clinic, it's all heterosexual porn.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it gets worse. The whole process is actually quite clinical, so it's the least sexiest thing that you can do ever.
I'm sure that, I mean, as if that, as is that really a hurdle? You know, like, do you actually need mountains of porn to...
Daly.
No, hold on. What do you mean clinical? I mean, you're in a room on your own taking care of business?
Yep. So, I mean, like, you walk into the IVF clinic and you go to the window and there's a woman sitting behind the window and she's like, good afternoon. And I'm like, hey, how are you going? You give her your name and she gives you a cup. And in my head, I'm just like, you know exactly what's going to happen right now. So I'm just like, and she walks you to the room. She shows you around and she shows you the porn, which is all heterosexual. And she's like, there's the couch. And you're like, great, I've got to sit on this couch.
Yeah.
Sounds there's like the coffee table. I don't know what's meant to go on the coffee table, but she's like, always make sure that you wash your hands afterwards and put it in the bag and then put it into the thing. And they verify your details before and after.
Sounds like a bit of a wank fest to me.
Yeah, pretty much.
Look, see, I had to go and do, when my ex and I went to go have kids the first time, and she had surgery for polycystic ovaries, and I had to actually go and do donation to see how I was producing. And I remember actually going home and it's like having a date with yourself. I'm looking at the cup and I'm on my own. It's like, it's all of a sudden here, like in my own mind, I'm hearing this like, bounce, chicka, wow. You know, I wanted to hear like, you know, let's get it on or something like that. And I took it back. I dropped it off and I ran out the door. So like, but you're there in the other room while they're there.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's probably not a problem. I mean, I assume you'd be able to, you know, make it all work. Although I suspect you think to yourself, oh, I kind of want it to feel more romantic because, you know, we're baby making or whatever.
Romantic with yourself. Now, Becca, are you getting good visuals on this one?
I'm not even supposed to be here tonight, but I couldn't avoid this conversation listening to Adrian talk about lesbians and sperm and...
Stop it!
I thought I was watching My Kitchen Rules for a minute at the start. I was like, what is this recipe for and can I make it at home?
Please, you've joined us. Once you've gone through the counselling, signed the contracts, made a donation, what's next?
More donations. So it's
really?
Yeah, it's not just a once-off. You actually have to go and get your sperm tested, and then you need to go and get it a second round tested, then a number of other ones.
Yes.
As you'd be showing up, and they'd be like, oh, hello again.
Hi again. I actually had one of those frequent loyalty cards by the time that I left, and I got my last time free.
So you had to go many times. How many times?
So I think in total around about 6 to 7.
I mean, that is completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Do they realize IVF, you only need, you know... Once. And so was that to, do they quarantine? Or?
Yeah, that's the problem. So they'll quarantine for a certain amount of time and then they will retest you after they've had it in quarantine just to make sure that nothing has happened since the last batch.
Oh, so they want to make sure that you know, you don't have any transmissible diseases and all these kind of things, right?
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Did you bring your own material the second or third time around?
I actually, you know what? I mean, iPhone 5s are really terrible to watch any videos on, let alone pornographic material. So, yeah. I mean, I just... sort of. I mean,
I really hope you're not watching your own YouTube videos.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Did you get those hits up?
I was like, yeah, I'm 29. This is really good.
Don't we have some fertility clinics that sponsor Joy? Like, maybe we should give them a shout out to get some gay porn in their services.
From other sperm donors that I've talked to, this is a common...
These are the issues that need to be tackled. Yeah. You know, if Hillary had been talking about these things, then maybe she would have, you know, really connected with some of these people that voted for Trump. So in that time, is it frozen or is it fresh, or in the part where you're making when you actually start?
Adrian's talking about margaritas.
Oh no, I'm talking about cakes again. No, when you end
milkshakes.
When you end up, you know, baking the cake, is it like fresh or is it like instant mix from the cupboard? You know what I'm trying to get at is, like, are you putting all the bits in the body at the same time, right? or are you defrosting the milk from the microwave?
Okay. Do you just take a turkey baster, pull it out, and just like that?
Yeah. What happens?
You just toss them in a bowl and hope for the best, right? No, you actually they will freeze them.
Yeah.
And then what they'll do is they'll extract them, and then they will medically put them together and then make embryos. So,
but can I make a statement? I want to say something. So that
you
sounds,
want to say something now?
No, that sounds to me like you know, it kind of sounds like the wrong way to do it. If I'm making a... No, let me listen. Hear me out.
Dr. Perillo.
Look, I'm picturing like a martini shaker. You're just going to mix it up.
No, if I'm making a cake, if I use fresh milk versus UHT rehydrated frozen milk, you know what I mean? Like, you must have a better chance of having a successful pregnancy by using fresh, right?
You can, but... Well, no, I actually really don't know the answer to that. But I do know that regardless, if you do it that way, you can't make embryos... live. It's not like...
Yes, you can.
It's no, I mean, well, you...
You know, like, you know, I have two kids from IVF, right?
But like, not if you're in separate parts of the of Melbourne.
Well, you could come to the same room. It's kind of a big day, mate.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
We're actually talking about sperm and not cooking. Because quite frankly, I'm not sure that you do.
No. I'm just finding it interesting that they go through a process of freezing and then unfreezing rather than doing anything like, not naturally, but like in one room you do your bits and bobs and then they take it to the next room and then they make an embryo. Right?
I can see Adrian standing there. Like, so what's going to happen with it? Where's that going to go? How's this going to be put in there? How's this done?
You
have a list. Wearing his blue sweater.
And the magic question, did you fire a shot first go? Were you pregnant first cycle?
I wasn't pregnant at all.
Not yet.
I was going to say you recovered well if it was for your first time.
Yeah.
What I mean is, you know, were you pregnant first cycle? Not you, but was the everyone?
Yeah, I understand what you mean. From what I know, possibly. I mean, I was a known donor, right?
Yeah.
So my relationship with them and my agreement with them is pretty much, there is a bit of a distance with what's happening.
Yes.
I'm doing this as something that I want for them, and I'm not doing it for myself at all. I agreed to an uncle relationship. I guess for them, it would be better for them to not go, okay, well, we're starting the first treatment. The first embryo has been put in and it hasn't taken. And then, so it wasn't until it was about like 3 months.
Yeah.
And then they sent me a picture of an ultrasound just completely out of the blue. And I was like, oh my God, this is so strange.
Yeah. Who is this person? I want to hear more about what happens when you've cooked the cake and it's out of the oven and on a plate. And I want to know about the relationship you've got now with these, lesbians and their child. Thanks for staying with us. There's a lot of puzzled looks around the desk.
I'll explain after a while. I'm so confused.
I can't wait till the day comes he has to explain, like, the birds and the bees to his kids.
You're on Joy 94.9.
I'm confused. Family Matters on Joy 94.9. You can SMS us on 0427 Joy 949 or email us on air at joy.org.au if you've got a question for Daniel, our milkman Nags. Now, How do you make a bake? I'm really confused. Milk, bread, eggs.
Okay, I'll stop the cake analogies.
Cake. I like banana cake.
Adrian won't be on the show next week because he's doing work experience at a sperm bank.
Oh, look, I'm sorry. But I've got to ask you, were you confused, Dave?
I was confused because I was wondering when I get a chance to lick the ball.
That's not part of it.
Now you can see why I'm confused.
Bring it back. Now I'm going to imagine that licking the bowl.
I got a question. Go, Mama. Mish.
Were you involved in the pregnancy at all?
No, I think the agreement, and especially this is something they go through with the psychology counseling part of it, is the family demonstrates or explains what their expectations are of you, and you kind of like then also bring your expectations. And it's definitely important to be quite honest. And what happens is that you independently agree on what it is and whether or not you're going to be compatible. So for me, my whole importance or my whole reason for being involved was more so to do something nice for my friends. And their decision was to not co-parent, so I don't have any parenting role or responsibilities. However, I did, after the child was born, did get a very nice watch that said Uncle Dan, which I thought was very nice. Mm. So,
Do you have your name on the child's birth certificate? Let me rephrase it. You know, is your name on the child's birth certificate?
Yeah, no, not at all. But there is, in Victoria, luckily, parents, no matter of gender or sexuality, can have both names on the birth certificate. However, there is a little section that says more information is available. So if the child orders his birth certificate and wants to know more, he's got access to who his donor is, and that's part of me being a known donor. Mm-hmm. So if I was an unknown donor, it means that he would then need to go back to the clinic. But I've got my name is registered as a known donor for the additional information part of the birth certificate. And if once he's 18, he'll have access to the rights to accept that, plus also a letter that I had to write to him as a donor, which was quite bizarre.
So in all of this, was your donation only for this particular pregnancy, or did they hold on to the rest of your material others?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. They actually made, I think, successfully around about 5 embryos, and they told me about it. If they want to use the additional ones, they have to get my permission. And if I want to destroy them, I think they need to get theirs. But there's like a lot of, before it can go any further with the additional embryos, we need consent from both ends. And if I want to use them, and if I've got a partner and we want to use them for another pregnancy, I have to not only get their permission and sign it to me, but I need to also get my own permission and sign it to me as well, because there's this whole
So they actually own your material?
No, like we both
co-own it. You need to both give consent. Okay.
Yeah, so nothing can happen. They can't clone me yet. But
yeah. We've received a message in from Betty saying this is a fascinating topic of conversation. Got a question for the sperm donor. Do you want children of your own one day? And if you do, have you thought about what you might say to them?
Yeah, of course. So part of my history is that I don't know who my father is. And I was raised not knowing. This is part of the reason why I thought it would be good if they did to help this way, so that as the child grows up, if he does want to know, then he's got a way to find out. For me personally, I think that if I was to have children, I'd explain to them about my weird web of a family history with adoptions and half sisters, half brothers and everything like that. So for us, it's a very normal thing to have people or extended or unique branches of our family tree. So I don't think that that addition is probably going to be one of the most normal additions to the way that my family's set up already. Having children of my own, it depends circumstantially. And definitely my opinion has changed depending on the relationship that I'm in.
So you mentioned a letter that you had to write to the child. You described it as being bizarre. Can you explain us?
Well, it's bizarre to write to someone who doesn't exist yet. Yeah. So, I mean, I put some words of encouragement and put all like a bit of a thing about my artistic dreams and motivation and you go, kid. And it's like, it's really, really strange.
But any powerful quotes in there?
There was at the end, and I can't remember what they are, and it's probably
make
a good
Australia
thing.
Great again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, your material that they've got on
ice.
On ice, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, it's co-owned by you and the parents, other parents of your child.
Yeah.
Okay. If you were to go in and make another donation for whatever, they don't have any access or rights to the new material you submit?
Not at all, because it won't be combined with their eggs.
So you said, if you don't mind me going back a bit, that you were raised not knowing your father. Can I ask?
Yeah.
Can I probe slightly?
Yeah, of course.
So, what does that mean? You never knew your father, or you were adopted and you didn't know, or you can? I'm just trying to understand. And the reason I'm asking is, I mean, I care about you, but I'm more interested in the ideas of. But I'm more interested in the ideas of. You know, being raised without a father figure and, you know, how you might feel, but that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, of course. No, I was raised with a father figure. So my mum met my dad when she was, I think, pregnant with me. I grew up and then was told at an older stage that I wasn't genetically related.
And how old were you, if you don't mind me asking?
14.
So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is that considered a risky approach?
Yeah, well, I mean, my mother grew up with a woman who was told on her 36th birthday, and her parents never heard from her again.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
But my mother's adopted, and so I didn't grow up with any blood-related people, so no one looked like me.
Did it change your relationship with the male figure?
Not at all.
No,
it didn't. It didn't change anything. And then a few years later, it turns out that we had a half sister from somewhere else. So we're kind of like got a very. I need a chart or a PowerPoint presentation to actually go through everything.
Yeah.
But
you grew up with a dad figure.
Yeah,
who,
and he's
you
still
know,
my dad. Yeah.
Who is your dad? And there's no issues there. And then you kind of found out later that there was another guy who was involved and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And how did you feel when you found out at 14 that there was actually, you know, did you want to meet your bio dad?
Look, for a long time, it didn't change anything. The only thing was I had these fantasies about who I really was ethnically. And I was like, I am so European. I'm not Australian or New Zealand.
Yeah. But did you not know? Did your mother say to you, oh, look, actually, you're Swedish or you're African-American or you're actually Chinese?
Or Trump.
Oh, Trump, yeah.
No,
Trump.
So you didn't know. It was actually quite a mystery. You know, you could do DNA tests these days and find out.
I did. And I spent the majority of the years, because like I speak really bad Serbian, I thought that I was Serbian, but turns out I'm 40% Irish.
Well, there you go.
To be sure.
Yeah, so you kind of found out, but then you were kind of like, meh, you know, whatever, no big deal.
Yeah.
And you kind of, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, look, our family's had so many parental DNA tests throughout the whole family tree is that it's something that is not really taboo, and it's kind of good to be open and honest, because it means that there's no kind of, I guess, issue around that someone's not doing enough to make sure that everyone's aware about what's going on. And so we thought it might have been one man. Turns out it wasn't. And then I was like, look, we've tried and I'm okay with that. And it doesn't change my relationship with my father. And I still love and adore him. And same with my mother. So it's, it's a good thing.
Awesome.
Ethnic thing.
Yeah, it's really thing. Wonderful to hear. It's love that makes a family, but not often the
does
DNA.
Does that part of unknown still bother you, or is it something you want to get that answer eventually? Or
ask me when I return from Ireland.
Do you know what I find fascinating about that question? I've got a good friend of mine who is adopted, and I also asked a number of questions about, oh, but don't you want to find out? And the response was always, no, actually, I'm really not interested. And then I realized is that I was doing what people do to me, which is viewing it through my lens. Mm. And my lens that doesn't quite understand that because I'm not adopted would say, oh, well, if this is what I would do.
Yeah.
If I was in that situation. But from their lens, they're kind of like, no, I've always grown up knowing who my mum and dad are, and the fact that I'm adopted has kind of nothing to do with it. And that's why actually I don't care. And it's what people do to me and my kids. They say, oh, well, I couldn't understand having two dads, so it must therefore be an odd and a wrong thing, as opposed to the way that I think my kids think of it. And they're kind of like, what? It's just life.
Normality.
I don't really understand it.
Yeah.
Let's take it from somebody who actually didn't know their own dad growing up. My dad was gone when I was about two or three.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and so my real dad showed up the night of my high school graduation.
Wow.
And so it was, and so to finally meet this person for the first time, you don't even know who they were. And I remember just absolutely standing there and just shaking and crying. And it is just you feel so many emotions at the same time. It's unreal.
And you chose to drop this bombshell at 8:53. it's more. I've got the same story as well. My dad's also.
Well, I actually.
But my dad's actually adopted as well. So
really,
my mum's adopted too.
Is that
oh, really?
No.
Is that true?
So I've got no, like, for me, my dad's never bothered about finding his parents. But for me being, I wouldn't mind knowing who my grandparents are on that side of the family.
But I think that's part of how you view it through your lens. Mm. And what about your perspective, Beck, your mum? Is that right? Adopted?
Yeah, she's never found her parents. My grandparents are her parents. And
but look how you turned out.
I know, perfect.
And hello, Andel out there listening.
Yeah, that's right.
Hello.
I mean, I find this absolutely crazy. But Gina, anything interesting in your side of the family? It's Greek all the way. Greek all the way to Aristotle.
But at least you know how to bake a cake, Adrian.
I do. Now I know what I know. You need now. I know you need to freeze the eggs in the UHT milk, and I've got it all
Daniel,
down pat.
You've opened a big bottle of milk tonight.
I mean, my mum found her mum and her mum's adopted. So, I mean, like, it just goes on and on. Yeah.
Well, Dan, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for taking us through your really incredible journey. How old is the child?
We don't know. Son or daughter?
But 1 or 2 years old. Really young, right?
We'll just call him a child at the moment because for protection of the family. But
yep.
I think about a year and a half now.
Yeah, awesome. Okay.
Well, we can call it sea monkey.
Yes, could do that.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Thanks for having on the show. We will be back in just a moment. You're with Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
There's more from the Family Matters team in just a moment on Joy 94.9.
Family Matters on Joy 94.9. And again, Thursday night, we have dominated the airwaves. I've been on The Informer. Beck's been on Stand Up Straight. We're here on Family Matters.
We're
Michelle
all here.
And our guests are on The Woods.
Well, I get to go play Mama Miss.
Yeah, you go on
Mama Bear
later.
Now.
And Pop Chops, still not contributing Thursday night. Get it involved. Get mingling in.
They're doing Neighbours tonight.
Oh, are they?
I'm a bit excited with
Kylie Minogue, Holly Valance.
I'm hoping
Delta
there's
Goodrum.
A bit of Craig McLaughlin Mona.
Check Craig McLaughlin.
Natalie
Check
Mbulia.
Pop Chops, we hope. Can we put in requests?
Yeah, yeah. Jai Waitford. He's currently on it now. We've got heaps of people to see. It might be a 2-hour edition.
Can I quickly say, I realise I do have family drama with adoption.
Bom, bom,
so
bom.
Very, very quickly, parents are Italian, grew up in, you know, poor
Sicily.
Southern Italy. Yeah, close, near Naples. And my grandmother turned up at the post office on Main Street in a basket when she was a child, just like a few months old, and they just left her there. And this other family had a child, but the child had died, and so the mother had milk, and so she said, "Oh well, I'll take that baby." And so they took who was my grandmother, but she was had red hair and was a bit of a like not a devil, but I considered as
a ranger.
Yeah, we considered a ranger.
Not a crime.
And no, but she was the youngest child in the family.
I could almost see Adrian avoiding the word ranger, and then Dave just goes. A ranger.
Yeah. She was the youngest daughter, so she couldn't get married until the elder two daughters had gotten married. And the eldest two daughters were kind of like the evil stepsisters, and they couldn't get married. And so they never got married. And so my grandmother met my grandfather, but they weren't allowed to get married. So they escaped to the woods and built a log cabin in like the Pyrenees or whatever it was.
Love it.
And that's where they went and started their family, and they eloped.
So the moral of the story is go to the post office and only drop things off. Don't pick anything up.
Yeah, I know. It was a fascinating story and all true. There you go.
Well, that's a good lead into The Woods.
Who's coming up next? Oh, The Woods. Oh, my
Michelle,
God.
Michelle, you explain it. Who's on The Woods?
Well, I myself are going on to The Woods tonight. I'm going to be playing Mama Bear as I normally do whenever I go in there because technically I'm actually an ex-bear. And I know, right? Daniel's actually joining me. He's going to play in the woods with me.
You are a bit of a cub. Oh, very
good. He wants to be an otter one day.
Yeah. Now, what have we got on next week? Come on, Dave.
Oh, yeah, I've got my boys on next week.
Yeah, your boys are coming on next
James
week.
James and Ryan from Proud to Play, they'll be on. So they're doing
right up your alley.
Right,
we might even bake him a cake next week
dear.
We now know how.
Oh, dear.
We might.
Not Adrian's kind of cake.
No.
It's kind of gone butch, Adrian. How are you going to handle the sport?
I think I'm actually not on next week.
I've rested the parents.
For that reason.
Only because the boys are coming on and we might be having a bit of fun with Dave.
Mama needs the rest of the voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, James and Ryan, we do have a funny story to tell next week. They were wingman type story. I'll explain it all next week.
Tell it next week. Got an SMS from Dan in saying gingers have souls too.
Yeah.
And we couldn't agree more. I've dated Ginger, so I'm on your I agree
so
with
I.
you.
So
thank you so much for a wonderful show, everyone. Thank you to David, Gina,
no
Mama Mish, Beck, and our wonderful guest, the milkman, Daniel Nags. You're on Joy 94.9. We will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.